This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Let's get straight into it then to cover six episodes. This little mini-series, one-season adventure on Disney+. It stars Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Wyatt Russell, Erin Kellyman, Danny Ramirez, Don Cheadle, Danny Brule, Emily Van Camp, and there's another bit of a cameo which we better not spoil.
Better not talk about.
At this particular point. It's, as I said, six episodes. It's created by Malcolm Spellman and directed all the episodes by Kari Skogland. Yeah. It was a $150 million budget, and I'm not going to say anything more. Well, I'm going to give it straight to you to try and give some form of summary of these six episodes.
Sure. Very generally, this is set 6 months after being handed the mantle of Captain America at the end of Avengers Endgame, where Sam Wilson, who got the mantle, he teams up with Bucky Barnes in this, like, what can only be described as a worldwide adventure. It tests their abilities, it tests their patience with each other, for them to take on issues beyond simply stopping intergalactic threats. They're dealing with more Earth-type shit. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, then Wayne, what did you think of The Falcon and The Winter Soldier?
Well, let me just say, Paul, that I was on board with this. It looked interesting to me. I know you were less enthused, right? Based on just like us looking at the trailers going, and he goes, I don't know about this. A lot of people thought that way. And to be honest with you, the idea of an entire show about Anthony, about the Falcon is crap. Like, it sounds crap. Like, it sounds like a bit shit. It's like, yeah, but he's not Captain America. I don't even agree with the idea that they made him Captain America. It should definitely have been Bucky, okay? He's not extra human. Captain America needs to be extra human, right? Although that is kind of one of the points that they raise in this show.
Yes.
Which does give it some merit. Now, I was on board. I was like the one guy on the world.
I think lots of people were really looking forward to
this. Well, I was like, yeah, cool, let's do this stuff, right? So it started so slow.
Oh, yeah.
So slow, all right? And all right, midway through, I'm like, yep, I'm on board. I'm totally on board because I'm like, this motherfucker looks like money, all right? There is like the third episode, for example. I know we're jumping ahead, but like the third episode looks expensive, man. That Madripoor place looks expensive. So I'm like, looks like production value, wicked, right? And then, like, not so much after that. The fifth episode was a snooze, and then the end, we'll talk about the end, but not for me, not for me. Great scenes, some great fight scenes, all right? But this whole thing was a little bit of a, pointless or something? Something happened here where I'm just sitting there going, I don't quite care about this. I really like Sebastian Stan's Bucky. Like, I like him now. I hate him as the Winter Soldier, but I like him as Bucky.
Right.
The Falcon, what? Like, what? Like, what can he do? He's got some fins and a wing and shit like that, and that
he's
would
got a
be
cool. Detachable fucking, what do you call it?
That thing is his whole fucking story. if this should be the Redbird story. Redbird and the Winter Soldier. So it's a little bit of a nothing idea, and there's a lot of stuff that's like the social commentary crowbarred in here.
Well,
but
it's a big thing. There's some huge sort of political themes and sociopolitical themes through this show.
And that's good, and there's some very brave choices being made, all right, which I am on board with. But I don't know that it was handled so well that it made me care enough. I don't know. But, so I'm okay. How about you? How do you think, Paul? As if I didn't know. There it is.
I'm Megatron. Okay. Tremble before me, terrible films and television shows.
Tell us about your views, Megatron.
That's it. That's my review. I'm done. This was a snooze.
The whole thing was a snooze?
Bored from episode one. I had to make myself sort of tune in to... By episode three, that's when we had wedding and honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
We came back and the now wife and I... She was like,
is this a couple show?
Do we have to?
It's a couple show.
She was bored.
I would never show this to a woman.
She's fully into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've watched all the films. We've watched them all with our daughter. And my daughter was interested, and that would have been too hard going for her. There wasn't enough here for little kids in this show. This is a bit more of an adult themed show, even though it didn't really have the violence or whatever else. But I was just bored.
Yeah.
Flag smashes. Who cares?
Oh, God. Let's talk about the flag smashers, right?
Hang on, just let me...
Go on, please, please. Go on,
like,
please.
By the time I worked out what the flag smashers were actually about, I thought, geez, they've actually got a point that they're making. And this is a big problem with the show. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the ethos behind the flag smashers is more than fair. And yet they align Bucky and Sam to go against them and saddle them with the guy who becomes Captain America at the end of the first episode.
Yep.
I guess we're probably going to have to spoil from here, I think.
Yeah, okay, let's just spoil everyone. If you've seen this, if you're listening to this, you've seen the whole show or you don't care.
Yeah, or that's literally the end of episode one I'm spoiling, so there's not much, there's heaps of shit to come.
Yep.
So here we are, spoilers. I'm not even going to hit the button. Yep. Spoilers throughout this episode, okay? But he's meant to be unlikable. He's another antagonist by...
White Russell,
yeah, yes. By the end of the fourth episode, certainly the start of the fifth. And I'm kind of like, I don't like the good guys in this show.
Wait, so when you say good guys, you mean White Russell or you mean Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Well, White Russell is offsider and then Falcon and the Winter
Soldier.
You're
not supposed to like him.
Well,
right?
You're not meant to because you can't obviously be as good as fucking Captain America, right? But the point is, you've got your two heroes. You're giving him an unlikable ally who then eventually becomes an antagonist. At the same time, you're pitting them against people who've got a pretty good agenda. Their methods are wrong. Don't get me wrong.
This is what, if you ask me, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Your fag smashers, right? They are initially pitched as sort of not eco-terrorists, but
they're pitched as terrorists. That's what the government wants you to believe.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I think the conceit of the show is that, hey, you call them terrorists, but they're working against something that is kind of legitimate, even if you're a good guy. You know what I mean? Like it's, and then they start to kill people and it's bad.
Yes, exactly. Right? Their methods are wrong.
Right. But then towards the end again, all right, you've now got Anthony Mackie
trying to connect
sort of
with
throwing in yeah
with
them
the
a bit,
leader of
with the leader
yeah.
Right, and it's like but that entire exchange does not ring very true to me because he's trying to understand her and she's supposedly like trusting him for a bit and then White Russell bursts in and she's like you're an asshole.
That was all fine, but then she's like hiring some dude to kill his family and shit if he doesn't turn up to, and I'm like, and he's still trying to be friends with her?
Yes.
What?
No, and that's what doesn't make any sense. So if you've got the, first of all, that Flag Smasher girl, whatever her name is, I don't know what her name is. She was in Solo for a short minute.
Was she? Okay.
Yeah, she was at the end of Solo. Anyway, I find her a wildly ineffectual character. Like, because she's like this little sort of like munchkin red-haired girl who's a super soldier, right?
Yep. She takes the serum.
And I don't buy any of the action that she fucking deals with because she's just too small to do any of that shit. But that's beside the point, right? I think you're supposed to be somewhat sympathetic towards her. I wasn't at any stage.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I was not towards her, but towards the Flag Smashers. She's a poor leader. But the rest of the Flag Smashers are all like, whoa, we're going too far with this.
Yeah. So which means they don't even care about it.
I was on board with them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. This show is murky in the kind of what it's trying to establish here. And then you throw Wyatt Russell into the mix.
Yeah.
What's his name? Johnny Walker, man.
He's John Walker. Yeah.
Into the mix. And he's really unlikable. And you're meant to hate him. And well played by Wyatt Russell. I don't think the performances are bad in this show.
No, I don't think the performances are bad either.
Yeah, even Anthony Mackie just plays smug all the time. I never buy when he's vulnerable. I never buy when he's anything other than playing superior smug. He's fucking good at that.
He is good at that.
Right?
It's because he is, yeah.
Their back play wasn't funny. Their back and forth. I didn't like any of that stuff. Here's the ironic thing. Here's what I hated about it.
Yeah.
It's trying to do so much in these six episodes, and yet it feels so fucking long. It felt like 10 hours. I was bored throughout.
Dude, that episode 5.
Oh, it's terrible.
All right. There was one big fight at the beginning of the three guys, and you're like, ooh, here we are. And then we've gone, right, we've blown our load and we're saving our fucking budget for the last episode, right? And as a result, it's just dialogue, this bit of like, you know, exposition.
Which is fine if
it's well done, but I don't think this is a particularly well written show.
No, I don't think so either.
You know,
like, I think the episode, it's so ham fisted in what it's saying. So, but effectively, this whole show could be summarized in one sentence. And I almost did this today for a maker. Should I watch it? I said, look, I didn't like it. Lots of people do. So, you know, if you don't want to, I'll give you a one sentence summary. And my one sentence summary would be, Sam learns how to be Captain America and finally decides to take on the mantle. Done. That's it. That's all you need. And
you know
it took
what?
6 fucking hours for this to happen.
That, though, if you do it right, that's fine. If you say this is the story of Sam becoming a Captain America and getting to his own, and that's the whole thing. At the end, they change the title to Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and you're supposed to be this like, you know? But I didn't get it. And this is that's the real issue with this. I don't think... Like, you know, Bucky. Bucky is my favorite thing about this, right? But a lot of the things were kept out of. Like, for example, Bucky is... The most interesting aspect of the show is that Bucky is dealing with the fact that he used to be the Winter Soldier and he killed all these people.
Yep.
And now he's good and he's like Angel, who used to be dangerous. And now
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And that's like him now trying to atone for it by saying to the psychiatrist that, you know, I'm trying to make amends and this sort of thing, right? And then at the end, like sort of the fifth episode, he says, listen, if you want to make amends and get out of the hell you're in, you have to do the actual work. All you're doing is avenging, right? That's quite an interesting concept,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
And the fact that he's hanging out with that Japanese dude when he killed his son and he can't tell him.
Okay, now here's another massive... You bring it up perfectly for me. Thank you.
Yes.
That scene should have been horrendously powerful. Exactly. It should have been incredible. He goes in there and we get to see the horror on the old man's face.
Say I killed your boy.
Cut away.
That's it.
I'm like,
they just
what the
left
fuck?
It. That could have been this like, you did what? You know, yeah, kind of like
they needed to have that. They needed to show what did he do? Did he fucking
how did he handle
it? Against him? Did he kick him out of his thing? Did he say something cutting? All we see is he walks past the place where he was eating and went on that one date with the chick. And the chick looks up and sees him while the old man just eats his food there. I'm like, okay, that is fucking terrible writing.
And also, exactly. And it's like the old man, suggests that the old man just went back to his life.
Yeah.
Like this didn't destroy his entire being, which it would have.
Yes.
This guy I've been hanging out with just killed my son. Forget about
it. Well, the old man was looking for answers. He didn't have them. So he got his answer. That's the implication. But it's not good enough.
Yeah, but you don't just go back and eat.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, that's why.
That's terrible. Then we have the whole Sharon Carter thing.
Oh, wow. We got to talk about Sharon Carter.
Is the most on-the-nose reveal I can think of.
Dude! All right, so check it out, right? Let's talk about Sharon Carter, right? Now, I love that Sharon Carter's back in. Like, she was like the Avengers, the Winter Soldier girl, and she was a CIA agent and so this thing, right? So now, I'm following all the internet chatter about it week to week, all right? People saying, ooh, what if she's the power broker? No, she can't be the power broker. They keep referring to power broker as him. That's not necessarily a reason why they can't have her, but, you know. And then, like, so the idea here is that she has somehow, because she got snapped, all right? She's been away for 5 years.
Right.
Because it's proven in Avengers Endgame, there's a picture of her, like, having disappeared, right? Unless she
somehow months, she set herself
in
up like this.
In 6 months, she's a crime boss. Now, the only way you can explain this is, ready? Was Sharon Carter the power broker even
all
back
along.
In Winter Soldier?
Right.
All right. And she was just in the FBI.
But we haven't even heard of the city. No, but she worked her job in the CIA or whatever
it
was.
Well, that's the idea. Was she the power broker who had a job as basically an intern at the CIA? Well, not the intern,
and
but
the
like
answer
a
is
junior
no,
agent.
Because she was already on the inside. And at the end, at the very final scene, she says, I'm now going to have access to all the shit.
That's right.
I.e. the access she had before.
Yes.
So it doesn't track.
Good. So then another internet theory is that she's a Skrull. All right.
Okay.
But that's not the case because unless she's like this sort of like, she at one stage, she turns up at the last episode and she uses the same fake like Mission Impossible mask that they use in Winter Soldier.
Yep.
If she was a Skrull, she would just have changed her fucking face. Do you know what I mean?
Good point.
So the idea here is that she's this, in 6 months, she built this empire where she gets works of art from around the world and keeps it in Madripoor and she's got access to satellites and she hangs
out with
Batroc.
Everyone is shitting their pants about her word, what she's going to say to do.
That's right. And then she walks into like the nightclub with fucking Zemo and that and she's like, oh, you know what? No one recognizes her.
Well, I get the sense she's meant to be like Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like, but I don't know. Like, the way Zemo talks about Power Broker, I've tangled with the Power Broker before.
Yes.
No, you fucking haven't, because she's there.
Unless the Power Broker is like Dread Pirate Roberts.
Exactly. but the bigger issue is that, remember that scene where Sharon Carter is kicking everyone's ass, you know, the container ships?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
arguably the best scene of the entire series.
I would agree, right? But then no one's there to watch her, man. Why is she doing that? If she's the Power Broker, all I'm doing is beating up 17 motherfuckers, right? No one saw her do that. She wasn't doing that for anyone's benefit. She just beat them all up and then joined them back in the container. And then Zemo shot the scientist, you know? So it's like, well, then why'd you do that? Just fuck off. And after the end of that scene, she goes to some girl who pulls up in a car who seems to be in the know. She goes, we got a problem. That girl was probably there the whole time. None of this was, if this was staged, it was for no one.
Yep.
So it's stupid, right?
It is stupid.
And
it really feels like a betrayal of her character, which we had established a little in particularly Winter Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, just...
It doesn't work. I think we can agree.
Like, they haven't done that.
So let's go back to some of the more general things about the show before I come to my so that scene was my favorite fight scene. Well, there was another one good fight scene. That was when they were taking on the flag smashers, and which is a stupid name, by the way. How do you smash a flag? I don't get it. The flag cutters?
Flag terrors?
The
burners?
Flag terrors?
Flag
the flag
burners?
All that would be fine. But no, flag smashers.
Maybe it's some comic reference to that.
Maybe it's comic accurate.
Yeah,
still,
who knows?
I think the fight scenes they weren't great. There was nothing astounding about them, though the best one I think was in the containers. I didn't mind the one where they fought both with Captain America, sort of John Walker, and then against him in the start of episode 5. I thought all those things were fine.
Yeah, that was good.
And that image of bloodstain on the Captain America shield. That was quite powerful.
That was probably the most powerful piece in the thing because it like boom, boom, and he's like you could argue he decapitated that guy. I don't think he did,
well,
but you can't.
I think he smashed his head in.
He fucked him up, and then there's like that low shot of the blood,
yep.
And everyone's like, and I even went, whoa, that's dark for this kind of show.
So let's now extrapolate that a little bit further.
All right,
John Walker gets stripped of his dishonorably discharged, whatever it is, right? And yet now he's US agent, and he can just go about his business. Everyone knows who the fuck he is. He murdered someone with cameras on him.
Yeah, and then they tried him in court and they put cameras on him there as well. Everyone knows who he is.
What is going on?
I think the idea here is that, and we can spoil this now, because Elaine from Seinfeld turns up and she's that girl with the violet hair thing. And then she's all like, yeah, I'm a secret ass agent or whatever, right? And that's fine, right? That's actually great. I actually like that. Oh, it's Elaine. I like that, right? I'm fine
I'm
with
sure
that.
I'm sure you did. Right?
But then, like, she apparently seems to be... I would say that she's actually Hydra. Like, she's... Or she's... What happens with this show?
Is Hydra gone?
Hydra's gone, but, like, all through this thing, they go and they come back. And even, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra goes and they come back. And da-da-da-da, you know, right. So I think that's the story of Captain America. It's this, right? I would have loved to see an old, like, Joe Biden-looking Chris Evans.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen him just turn up again. I don't think they have the budget for that. I'm sure Chris needs a lot of, like, more money to actually just do that. But this is the problem with your phase, no?
That's just for me.
That's exactly. Well, this is the problem with this phase two stuff, right? It's like you have to borrow as much as you can. You got some of the characters.
Phase four stuff, you mean?
Phase four. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Whatever this like next bit is, right? So there was just no magic here. Remember, Captain America, the series is my favorite from all of the
Marvels.
Yeah, you
love the trilogy,
right?
Yep.
So for me, I'm like, ooh, a bit of like, you know, into this. But the big thing that I had an issue with, right? We're talking about the final episode here, right?
Yep.
Anthony Mackie. Because Sebastian Stan goes to Wakanda people and say, can you make me a new Falcon suit, right? So they make some pimped out one, right? And it looks fucking shit.
Apparently it's comic accurate.
Yeah, I don't care. It looks like my asshole, all right? When fucking Anthony Mackie turns up in this white outfit, right, which is puffy as shit, all right? It doesn't...
So for the record, Wayne,
yo,
a brown man,
yo,
has a white asshole, which is puffy as shit.
It's sort of tan. But yes, no, it looks like shit. Because this is the biggest problem I had with the last episode, all right? So fucking everyone gets fucked up or whatever, and Anthony Mackie can somehow fly around, throw a shield. I don't care about that. That's good, all right? Let's make that happen.
Where
right?
the fuck did John Walker get another shield from?
He made it himself out of fucking tin in my dick. It was just bullshit. It's just fucking. The whole point is it's a crap one, right?
And
he
welded
it. Yeah, it was a shit one, right? But he. Because they show him making it, right? But.
Did I miss that?
Yeah,
part.
They show it at the end of like one of the.
That must be one of the many times I got up to get a drink or something.
It was one of the.
Yawn!
It was one of the post credit sequence where he's just hammering it out, and he actually hammered his medal into it so he could look at it for some reason.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Was that the end of episode five, was it?
It was whenever he got, whatever episode he got stripped of his.
Yeah, five.
Yeah that
okay,
one.
Sorry. I apologize. That's all.
Yeah, so that's
me.
Fine. That, yep. I mean, and that happens in the.
Or
in
I may have just gone, fuck it, enough of this shit. Disney Plus, stop doing 9-minute fucking credit sequences at the end of an episode.
You know why? A billion people work on it and they have to tell everyone.
And you know what? The, you know how you have, what the UI is terrible on Disney Plus.
Is it?
At the bottom, like you scroll across.
Oh, yeah.
To get to the next, you know. And the preview image is about 6 minutes behind where you fucking are. So you're in the credits going, oh, there is an end credit sequence. Play. No, then it just shows credits. I'm like, hang on. Oh, I saw that scene already 5 minutes ago.
Is that on TV? You're working through your TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching on the Batcave craze here.
Okay. So, I don't know if like, it's but on the PlayStation 5, that is the experience you get. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, back to you.
No, but that was the idea is like, so first of all, he turns up in that outfit. That outfit looks stupid, right? It's got—I know it's comic accurate, all right. So don't hate at me, right?
No, but at him.
Okay, feel at me, right? So it's got half a helmet, sort of like headpiece, and the goggles.
The goggles
you look
are
like
weird.
Grant. Was it Horace Grant? It looks stupid, right? Then it's white on top, and it's puffy for no reason. It shows off. It doesn't show off his physique at all. Complete waste of time. Then, sure, it's cool that the wings can plant themselves in the floor and do shit like that and bulletproof. That's all cool. But then Anthony Mackie is doing his inspirational speech at the end.
Oh, God, that was so
Oh,
gross.
My God. That was
How
shit.
How long did that go for? And I'll tell you why I don't know.
10 hours.
I fell asleep.
I'm not
I had
surprised.
To go back and watch it again. So it felt like it went for 10 hours.
Dude, it meant nothing. Look. Maybe I'm not. I don't live in America, and I don't understand. Okay, so let's allow that. I don't really understand how, you know, the terrorism. This the he's talking. He's shitting on the senators. Senators, you got to do better. You know,
yeah,
I don't know what's
of,
like.
Enough of treating everyone these blah blah blah. The message was fine. The way it was delivered.
Execution was bad.
Right?
Because I didn't care. And I'll tell you something else. It might have been powerful if he didn't look like a fucking circus clown. That was the thing. I said, like, look at this shit.
I understand what you're saying. I didn't think he looked great. I'm not that worried about how he looks, though.
I am.
But I do want to emphasize, though, that really went on.
It went.
And on and on. It was trying to bring all the things together. And I thought there was a powerful moment in the final episode with Isaiah...
Bradley.
Bradley.
That was the best part about it.
And he came in and saw his statue there. And he breaks down in tears. And he hugs him. That was brilliant. And I think of the all the issues it tried to tackle, I think that racism element was the best of
that
the lot.
That was the best thing this thing did. It actually said, I'm not going to shy away from the fact that there's issues with the white versus black Captain America. How does the company... You know, that's all good, all right? And it's made worse... Well, worse, but it's made more prominent by the fact that Wyatt Russell is this blonde-haired Captain America. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Aryan type feature.
Yeah, even though he looks like the lead character from Up. That when he first turns up as Captain America, go look at his face. He looks like the old man from Up. His face is like this, like sort of like squat face. I'm like, who's this motherfucker? I didn't even recognize him, right? So there's that. But that was the best thing it did. And kind of everything else was sort of not phoned in, but just didn't work.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a comparable example. It'd be like, you know, Green Book's pretty on the nose itself anyway, right?
But at the end of that film,
Viggo Mortensen stood up and said, you know what? Black people are just as good as white people, and I don't understand why I felt this way all this long, and everyone else in this family needs to fucking get on board. Excellent. Yay. It was that on the nose.
Well, I thought that you would have an issue with this, right? Anthony Mackie comes out at the end and starts his speech, right? All of a sudden...
I fell asleep.
Okay. Well, had you been awake...
I did. I rewound and watched it.
All right. But like he starts talking, right? And it's not like a produced thing, but all of a sudden it's being simulcast around the world. How did they get such good audio on him? Yeah. He just turned up and started talking to four cunts. And it was like, everyone's like, oh, listen to the speech. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work like that. You have to produce this shit.
Yeah, it's like fucking H2O all over Halloween, the remake all over again. Podcast is you cannot put a microphone 20 feet away from someone and it pick it up perfectly.
Exactly. So, I mean, did you like Zemo at least?
Yes, thank you. I was going to say, the MVP of this show for me was Zemo. Now, you know I have a thing for when the bad guys team up with the good guys and they're forced to do so and they hijinks ensue. I thought his banter with those two was better than the banter between Bucky and Sam.
Yeah. You know why? He's a better actor. Like, he's
I don't know if he's a better actor, but...
There's something about him being European that makes it more interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
But I like the fact that, you know, in the end, he kind of gets his way and he does kill all the super soldiers and whatever else. That was cool, but just... That moment where, because you're obviously the whole time waiting for him to betray them, and he doesn't ever really do it.
No.
You know, you think he shoots the scientist to make sure he can't make any more, and then you think he's run off, but he comes, for whatever stupid reason, he puts the fucking purple balaclava on just because it's in the comics. And then he starts shooting up and saves them all.
Yeah.
That was a really cool moment. Not the balaclava, but the shooting.
Those are the fights that I thought weren't bad when they were actually being barreled
and
up.
That was the container one, the container fight. So, yeah. And then the Wakandans come. That was a cool throwback. I enjoyed that sequence. Would have been nice to have the chick from Michonne from Walking Dead, her character in it, but we didn't get her. We got some bit part person who flashed up in Black Panther or whichever one it was.
Yeah, she was in there. They couldn't afford, well, I can't remember her name, but yeah.
Denai Guerrero.
Yeah, that's right. No, that was all cool.
I can't remember the name. I'm not even embarrassed myself.
Yeah. Yep.
The Royal Guard.
Yeah, the Royal Guard, right? Someone's going to be pissed that we didn't...
Yeah, sorry.
It's a cool-sounding name. They got a cool-sounding name. But when they turned up and everything, that was cool because this is the guy that killed their king. They want to go down. But you know what? Doesn't work for me, okay? Zemo has all of these resources. He's a baron. He's got his own private plane. He's got a butler that actually killed the butler killed the fucking flag smashers at the end.
That's what I'm saying. He got his way. Cool. Yep.
So that was all cool. But then after he goes to the trouble of like going through the toilet and fucking escaping and this and that, the next episode, he's in front of that like fucking memorial or whatever, and Bucky turns up with a gun and he just lets them capture him. Like he knew Bucky was turning up. He knew that everyone was. He's just like, yeah, I'm ready to go back now. Why? You're a baron. Go get some bitches. The point is, like, you know what I mean? Like, why would he just do that? So, and obviously they're setting it up.
Please. He would open up that gambit.
I think what they're doing is they're setting and saying, we're going to take him back to the raft. The raft is that place where Captain America is held.
In the middle of the ocean,
And that's governed by Thunderbolt Ross, William Hurt.
Right, yep.
Right? So I think what they're going to do is they're setting up this Dark Avengers shit where they've got, like, you know, US agent and it's led by Zemo and it's got, like, other cunts in it and stuff like that. That's, like, a comic thing. So I think that's what they're doing. But it didn't really make sense.
All right, I think that's probably enough on Falcon and the Wind. Can you just tell? My energy is so low about this. This has sucked my enthusiasm for the MCU down to almost nothing.
My final
thought is this. I'm not even looking forward to Loki anymore. And Loki was the best of the live-action trailers that we saw.
Look, maybe they'll surprise us. I'm going to watch it, okay? Like, it's going to be...
Of course I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not enthused anymore.
I'm hoping for some Owen Wilson type, like, funniness that I could, latch onto. Like, you know what? I'll tell you this, right? The Mandrapur, the episode 3, where they went to that city, that looked beautiful.
We got the
Baron Zemo dancing, all right? That was the best episode of the whole lot with selected other... Like, the action in the last one was good. It's just that it was too little too late by that stage. So, yeah. Well, what can you do?
All right, give it a score, Wayne.
Yeah, okay. So Captain and Winter... Sorry, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is...
gave me something to do.
that's going on the box.
58.
That's going on the eventual 4K Blu-ray release. Gave me something to do. Wayne Rizzo, the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Yeah. 58 for you. Look, I think I gave WandaVision like, I think 48, ooh, or maybe I gave it flat 50.
Yeah.
This is worse. I enjoyed WandaVision more than this. At least WandaVision, I was interested in what was going on. This is a 40.
You're failing it. Oh, yep, you're failing it worse. Absolute it's a D, fail. Man. It's a worse.
2 stars. I just disliked this entire thing. I had no fun virtually, other than small snippets of, as we said, Zemo and a couple of fight scenes. But otherwise, meh.
One thing. Did you know that there is a storyline they had to crop out of this? Because there's one bit where Bucky goes onto the canister with the first time he sees his Flag Smashers, and he's like, hey, they're shipping vaccines, and he looks at the vaccine on the box.
Yep.
Then they cut it out, and all of a sudden there's like the matriarch woman, like she's a well-known actress who just dies without a line, without saying a single line.
Right.
And it's actually been known that there was this whole subplot of the Flag Smashers trying to create sort of, not a pandemic, but some sort of viral like thing.
And that would have helped in a way, because I would have hated them then. Then I actually might have been aligned the way I should have been.
Yeah, but the reason they cut it is because that pandemic thing... Well, pandemic, but more than that, it's actually literally that storyline says that there's an Asian country that created a virus that spread around the world, Mandrapur. So they said, "Fuck it, we need this to play in China, so we can't do that." Okay. And that may have contributed to the disjointedness of the stuff, but it was a bit shit. So there you are.
All right, there we are. So 58 for Wayne, 40 for me. Sorry, I know there's a lot of people who love this shit and love every part about it, but I'm sorry. You need to grade these things equally and consistently, and this was DC bad. As far as I'm concerned.
All right. If we're looking for the next thing from Disney Plus is like the...
Loki.
Loki. All right. When's that? Do you know?
June 11th or something like that. Okay. So coming not too far. And we, of course, will review that. No Absolutely. One will listen to us because I've just shadowed over this. And I'm sorry if this is your last episode of The Countdown. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all if you are coming back. And you can hit us up with feedback at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com via Twitter @thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on podbean.com or through the Podbean app where we host. And check out the Facebook listener community links in the show notes, as well as ccradio.com.au for some other great Aussie podcasts, Believe and Comic Confidential. And that's it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker!
In that this was not a good show. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.